Hey guys, welcome back. Today I am going to be talking about something that I really did contemplate for some time, whether it's okay to talk about this or not, because this is a topic that is very sensitive, can be can make you seem like you are self-righteous and things like that, and I don't want to be that person. And so I was thinking, should I talk about this or should I not? But I decided I will, because my stance does not necessarily mean I'm a perfect parent. It does not mean I am, or I will be, because my child at the end of the day is still pretty young. So who knows what I'm going to be like in future. But the thing is, knock on wood, I will definitely not be a child abuser. I will not. And this is not funny, but there are certain things that obviously they're not considered abuse, but there are also things that I don't want to do. And so when I talk about things like that, that's when I might be seen like, oh, you're self-righteous. Oh, when your child grows up, when your child is 13, a teenager, 14, let's see how you talk to the child. So again, that's the reason why I was a bit skeptical, because I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to be like when my child is 14. I know what I hope to be like. I know what I pray for, but really, I don't know what I'm going to be like. So this is a disclaimer. I'm not a perfect parent. I make mistakes as well. Sometimes I am not perfect, but hey, let's go into this topic. So I was having a discussion the other day with a friend of mine, and as I was in the grocery store while I talked to this friend, and as I was talking, bear in mind the friend is a male, as I was talking, I kind of turned to my child, who is speech delayed, and so my child is not talking yet, and he's 2 years old. And I turned to him and I said something. And the way I said it to my child, you would think I was talking to, maybe an adult or somebody who could talk properly next to me. I think I said, oh, we forgot to get bread. Let's go get bread, right? Or I asked him, like, oh, did we forget bread? We did. Oh, let's go get bread. And the guy asked me, were you talking to me? I'm like, no, I was talking to my child. He's like, you were talking to your child? I'm like, yes. And he says, oh, like, look at the way I spoke to him. Like, he just kind of was intrigued at how I talked to him. And I said, why are you intrigued? He's a human being. He's like, oh, no, because he's so young. I'm like, well, you really, like, these children are human beings from the moment they're born. Actually, even from the moment they're in your tummy. And so I started talking to my child since he was in my tummy. I started reading to him since he was in my tummy. And so when he's out and I say little things to him, that's because he's an individual and I believe he understands what I'm saying. And to be honest, quite frankly, he's starting to really understand things. Even though he's not talking, he really does understand a lot. And so I said to him, let's go get bread. And the guy said, he said it as a joke and said, well, one day when he grows, you're gonna start telling him, shut up. And I said to him, no, I won't. it sounded like a really, easy joke, like something that was not a big deal. And to be quite frank, it really isn't a big deal, especially where we come from in our Nigerian culture. Telling your child to shut up is not a big deal. But I have grown and I have learned and I'm enlightened and I have been exposed to better and, healthier ways to relate and interact with your children. And I do not believe telling my child shut up is a healthy way. And he says, what do you mean when the child is grown? And I said to him, what if I talk to you now, you my friend, what if as I talk to you, I tell you to shut up? Would you like it? He says, no. But that this is a child. You don't interact with an adult in a certain way. I'm like, no, this is a human being. He has feelings too, just the same way you have feelings. I should respect my child regardless of his age. He may be a child, he may not be as old as me, but that doesn't mean he does not deserve the respect that I would give you because you're as old as me, right? He deserves that amount of respect. And so it now brought me to this, it brought us to a very lengthy argument about this. I found myself so passionate that as I talked, at some point my voice was shaking and I literally had tears in my eyes. And I think he sensed it. And then he said, oh, I have a meeting, I have to go now. And then he went off and never called me back. And I was glad he never called me back, because that argument really sparked all the emotions within me. I felt so shaken. And it was weird, because this was an argument that I probably wouldn't even get into if I didn't have a child. But I just realized how different this feels when you are a mother and when you're a parent. And you see, another thing is, this guy is actually not a parent yet. So at some point I nearly told him, I think I did actually, I said, when you have children, I said it to him, I said, when you have children and you have two children, you can do an experiment. Have one that you always tell to shut up and have one that you talk to with respect and see how they both grow up. And he said, no, he'll treat his children equally and he will be, you know, a hard dad and he will spank his children if need be. Oh, and that brought the next topic, spanking, which is the topic of our discussion today, really. What I call child abuse, literally, yes, spanking. And we've all been there. We've all been there. Oh my goodness, we've all been there. I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, we have all been there. There are times when you're so frustrated and your child is just not listening and your child is really like adamant to do the opposite of what you say. Now, what I'm gonna say is this. Yes, this is not judgment to any parent who has lost it and just giving a child a whack on the bum. This is more like saying, it's okay, don't feel bad. That's okay, that's a normal reaction from you, because you also have your own emotions. However, because we are more grown up and we have better control of our emotions, we should be able to, you know, hold back from hitting a child who is doing something that is considered normal. Bear in mind that if your child wasn't doing some of these things that you consider, you know, should I say stubborn, not doing what you say, if your child wasn't doing that, you would be concerned that your child is not normal. Because if your child was the type of child that you would say, oh, my little 2-year-old, you know, whatever the name is, I would say, you know, Sandra or something, be like, Sandra, come sit down here. And the child just trots over to you and sits down. Oh, Sandra, oh, go get this for me. And your child just walks over and gets it. Oh, Sandra, you're such a good child, I'm about to cook, just sit down right next to me. No, not next to me, because I'm cooking. Okay, sit down right there. And your child just goes there and sits down and is looking at you. Honestly, are you not going to be worried that your child is not normal? That is not normal development for a 2-year-old. A 2-year-old is gaining their independence. They're learning to, you know, kind of create their own boundaries. They're learning to say no. They're learning to let you know that they don't want something, you know, although they don't know what they want or what they don't want yet. So you are not supposed to just leave them, but you are supposed to protect them. You're supposed to kind of know that that behavior is normal developmentally, and so you should actually embrace it. Anyway, so back to me and my friend's argument. So when he said that, I then said to him that, you know, I'm not really for spanking. And he's like, well, that's, you know, this is the reason why children in the Western world are so badly behaved. I'm like, actually, no, you don't even know the statistics. This is an assumption based on the fact that you see a few on TV or something. He's like, no, children in the Western world are so badly behaved compared to children, say, raised in Nigeria, who were well beaten by their parents. I'm like, oh my goodness, what you have right here? He's like, look, my father beat me, and I turned out confident today, and I turned out who I am today. And I said, well, thank God you did turn out confident, yes. However, I think what you have is something that they call Stockholm syndrome in psychology. At the time when I was having this argument with him, I didn't even remember the name, but I had it in my head. So this morning I just woke up and thought, Stockholm syndrome. And I googled it, and indeed that's what it was. So if you don't know what Stockholm syndrome is, this thing where it's an emotional thing where the abused starts to see the abuser in a positive light. That's the very broad definition of it. So I'll give you an example. In Nigeria a few years ago, there was a kidnapping that happened. About 200 girls were kidnapped from school. by the bandits, the Boko Haram bandits, and they kept these girls in captivity for a long period of time. The entire nation was, you know, very distraught about it. 200 children from schools. They literally kept them in captivity because they were teenagers. Some of them were, you know, 15, 16, 13, 14. And let's not even go into the fact that in Nigeria it is legal to... let's not even talk about that, because that's something that's another topic for another day. Anyway, so so these girls were young and they kept them for years, and so some of them became adults, some of them became, I'll use the word, ripened, as at the time they were released by these Boko Haram people. And by the time they were released, some of them were pregnant. Some of them were married. When they came out, they were married to their kidnappers. When they came out, it's not funny, but when they came out, they, they had literally love. Not all of them, by the way, some. They had love for their kidnappers. That right there is Stockholm Syndrome. It's when the person that has abused you in many ways become someone you like. And I personally think, I'm not a psychologist, this is a disclaimer, I personally believe that a lot of Nigerian children have Stockholm Syndrome, and they have it towards their parents, because growing up in Nigeria is where I saw child abuse normalized the most. You know, now we are breaking out of that culture a little, but when I tell you that it is still extremely common, it is so common. Literally, the only way in Nigeria back then, when I was much younger, the only way some parents would be, you know, should I say, you know, I mean, frowned upon, the only thing that would make some parents frowned at was if, say, there was blood coming out of their kids' body, then they'd say, I know, that's too much, look at blood, that's so much. Sometimes even that blood, they would still leave it. Literally, they would beat up children to that point. And I'm talking children less than 10 years old, I'm not even talking older children, children less than 10 years old. They would beat them up. They would use there's this thing, I call it amalastic, I don't even know, elubostic. This wooden spoon for cooking. They would use that to whack children. And they would not just whack the bum. They would beat the back, the hands, everything. You would see scars on children coming to school. And these children, because that was my era, they are now grown up and they are here advocating for child abuse. Oh yes, I'm gonna spank my children because my father spanked me, and you know, and I turned out to be a good adult. No, you didn't. Do you know the emotional burdens you carry? Actually, some of these people carry a lot of emotional burdens. They're highly depressed, highly anxious, anxiety ridden, and they think they're normal. It's funny, a lot of mental health issues are seen as normal amongst Nigerians. Amongst Nigerians, we see a lot of mental health issues as normal. That is just... Anyway, I don't want to just dwell on certain things. So, I said to this guy, that's what's probably happening to you. He's like, what do I mean? That, I'm like, yeah, that it also happens among people that are bullied as well. You find that in schools, children get bullied and they still like the person who's bullying them. It happens. They try to impress the person who's been bullying them. It really does happen. And, you know, it's like they look up to that person who's bullying them, and the person enjoys it. The person continues to bully them. They look up to the person. They try to impress the person. You find them going to home looking for things to buy just to look cool, like this person that they admire in school who bullies them. This is all Stockholm Syndrome. It does happen. And the guy said, I said, no, like, look, when my child grows up, I would rather, even from now, you know, I would rather talk to my child with respect. When he says something, I will respect it. I will not tell him to shut up. If he says something wrong, I will correct him the way I would correct an adult that I have respect for. because my child is a human being and he has nothing to do with age. It's the same thing with sexism. You know, in Nigeria, a lot of times there's some gatherings you go to, and if there are guys there and you're the only female there and you speak, they look at you like, I mean, this happened to me many times. I was so livid every time because I saw it happen. I felt it. They would look at me like, who are you to speak when we are talking? Men are talking, you're talking. Some of them even had the audacity to say it, you know? And that's the same thing. It's like the way females are oppressed is also the way children are oppressed. And, you know, you don't give children the right to speak. You, when you have visitors in your house, you tell your children to go away. They're not allowed to be in the living room when you're there with your guests. That doesn't even make sense to me now. Like, now I have a child. To be honest with you, our parents didn't know better. But now that I know better, it makes me think our parents were crazy. Like, how do you even just send your child away to the room? Like, go and lock yourself up. You're not allowed to be in this gathering because adults are here. I mean, I can understand if it's a, say, a business meeting, you know, I mean, let's say it was a real business meeting where there's a contractor, my dad is meeting with a contractor and they have to discuss very important things. That I can understand, where, you know, he just says, you know, can you guys excuse me? You know, you say my mom takes us and we all just go somewhere else and play, just so that he can have that level of privacy with the businessman and they're talking together. That makes sense to me. I don't see anything wrong in that. That's just to kind of deter some distraction, not allow for too much distraction. I think that's okay. But when you have social guests, you know, let's say your friend comes to watch football in your house and they're watching football, and then you say to your children to go away. I mean, unless you guys want to discuss things that, I mean, I can, okay, now I think I can see now why some of them did it. Maybe they wanted to talk about sex, you know, because really and truly, my parents were around my age now. So maybe they wanted to talk about bad things. Maybe they wanted to talk about the women they were seeing, because our parents were very unfaithful parents. I'm going to talk about that in another topic. Yes, a lot of our parents didn't even regard the institution of marriage. So maybe they wanted to talk about all sorts of nonsense. That could actually be it. But still, consider how your child feels. That is not right. That is not right at all. If you're a cheating man and you want to talk about nonsense with your friend, and so you don't want your wife and children to be there, that shouldn't be happening. If you want to even do that nonsense, go outside. Don't bring it to your home. That's your matrimonial home. I think I'm digressing, but that's topic for another day too. You know, guys, I have so much to talk about. Anyway, so then with the issue of spanking, I just believe that when I, you know, there was a time when my child was just being so frustrating. Oh, I was so frustrated. I just gave him a thump on his hand. Like, I gave him a pop on his hand and he felt it. He held his hand and he just kept crying. And I felt so bad. My heart sunk. I was just like, what did I just do? I just inflicted pain on my child. Oh my goodness. I was so torn within me. Like, literally, I could have started crying. And then, you know, I just held him. He calmed down everything. Do you know that the following week, I was just doing, you know, maybe trying to feed him or just trying to get him to do something that he normally would run away from or shake his head or say no, you know, well, not say no, but kind of indicate that he doesn't want it. This time, my baby gave me a whack on my hand. Right there, I saw exactly what had happened. I had taught my child something that he learned perfectly. You know what I did? I taught my child that if I didn't like something he was doing, I would give him a whack on his hand and he would stop. And so he saw that and learned that right there. And when I did something to him that he didn't like, he gave me a whack on my hand. You see, that is how you teach a child that violence is the answer. That right there is exactly how you do it. And that, as soon as I noticed that thing, I have been saying mantras to myself. Of course, I stopped, and I think he's kind of forgotten it now, so he stopped doing it. But I had just started saying things to myself like, hey, Lord God, do not let me be that parent that will grow up and get frustrated and bam, spank my child. I'm like, no, I'm not going to be that. And that's why I try to surround myself with positivity. That's why my life is the way it is right now. That's why I do not choose to be conventional and stay, let's not go into that. But you know, that's why I always advocate for women, especially staying happy. If you're in a situation that makes you unhappy, leave. Because a lot of women, especially Nigerian women, back then, they would tell you that the reason why they hit their children was not because they didn't, it was because they were frustrated. So some parents carry out their frustration on their children, you know. And this is very common with women because women are so frustrated in Nigeria. The Nigerian society suppresses women so much in marriage to the point where women cannot even leave abusive marriages, because I think I've gone into another topic, but you can see how this relates. Women can't leave abusive marriages because they are the society, the law and everything works against them. Let me just tell you this. It is actually customary in somewhere in the Igbo land, or most of the Igbo land, that if a woman divorces her husband, she surrenders her children to the husband. That is actually customary. And you can imagine that as a mother. Can you leave your children because you want to leave a marriage? I personally cannot. I don't know what your answer to this is, but I know for a fact I cannot. And so, sorry. I've been sick, by the way. That's why I didn't do a podcast for the last couple of weeks. Anyway, so now imagine if I was living in that part of the world. I would not leave. I would stay in a bad marriage because of my children. I would not leave. And there breeds frustration. That's when the woman becomes frustrated. That's when she starts to do abusive stuff. It gets turned onto, you know, it gets taken out on the children and things like that. So I'm not using that as an excuse, but I'm telling you that that's something that happens. And so, you know, there's a lot of frustration that gets taken out. And at the point when I spanked my baby, I had thought about it that, you know, this was not a corrective spank. I didn't do the right thing because I just got frustrated. And so I think I need to be in a healthy space emotionally. And so, you know, I'm a very systemic type of person with my thinking. So I would think of the root cause and think of the steps needed. So I would not just think of the result without thinking of the root, the start of it, you know. So I thought about every single step needed. So first of all, I need to fix myself. Then I need to learn to do better and, you know, practice doing better. These things take practice too. I've never been a parent before. This is my first time ever. And so that's just kind of, you know, what I learned from that, you know, when you spank a child, you teach a child that violence is the answer. And so that's not what I plan to do. I plan to speak to my child with respect. I plan to correct my child with love and, you know, hopefully raise a good child in society. God help me. And this guy said, coming back to the topic of this is the reason why kids in the Western world are so badly behaved and they grow up to be this and to be that. And I say, no. Let me just let you know that kids do not learn more from what you tell them to do or what you tell them not to do. So you can stay preaching to your child every day. Have you not seen that pastors' kids are actually some of the worst kids on earth? Like, pastors' children, oh my goodness, they are the baddest, especially in Nigeria. They are like the ones who do all the wild things. And that right there is an example of the reason why what you say to your children is not what they're learning. They're actually learning from what you're doing. So if you're a hypocrite pastor, for example, and what you're doing indoors is bad, but you go to church the next day and you're preaching good, your children are not learning what you're preaching. They're learning what they're seeing. And so I said to my friend that I will personally learn to even be a better person. I'm not a bad person in society. I'm not a thief. I'm not anything that is criminal or anything like that. However, I'm not perfect. And so in order to teach my child better, I need to do better. I need to be kind. I need to, you know, watch the way I speak to people around me, not just my child. I need to watch how I interact with people. I need to even watch the people I interact with. I need to teach my child healthy habits. I need to, you know, say, for example, someone comes to my house and then leaves. This never happened. This is just an example. Someone comes to my house and then leaves. And then I'm all nice to the person when the person is in my house. And when the person leaves, I then start going, look at that fool. Nonsense. Why did they even come to my house? Who is this? Oh, look at you. See, guys, this is something a lot of Nigerian parents used to do. They were like so bad with their friends. They had like fake friends and everything. Why do you need to have fake friends? If you don't like a person, don't bring them to your house. Because what you've done is you don't even realize the ripple effect of what you're doing. It's your children you're teaching. You're teaching your children bad habits because your children are watching you. You don't even realize they're learning stuff from you. They're watching what you're doing like, this person came to my house. My mom smiled at the person, and as soon as the person left, my mom just started to talk bad about the person. Your kids are learning. So you have to watch what you do. You have to watch how you behave. You actually have to try to make yourself the best version of yourself. That's the only way your children will learn. They learn from your actions. So that's kind of what I'm here to say, that abuse is not the answer. Beating up children is not the answer. Actually being a good person yourself and emulating the behavior that you want your child to see in your child is the best way to teach your child. Even us adults, we don't do a lot of things right. Does anybody come to spank us? No. Why don't you spank yourself? Oh, let me give you an example. The guy now told me something about someone, I'm not going to say who went to an aunt's house, and that there was a razor blade, I'm sure everybody knows what a blade is. There was a blade, and the child, this was a seven-year-old child, and the child took the blade and tore the chair, cut up the chair in the living room. And that the auntie was so upset, she sent the child back home to her own house. And that when she got home, the parents, or was it the dad or mom, I don't know, had looked at the child and said, you're acting like you've done something wrong. And eventually found out that yes, she did something wrong, and she tore these people's chair, and that they beat her up, that they beat this child up so much that today, now that the child is an adult, a full-blown adult, by the way, that now today the child is afraid the person is afraid to even look at razor blades. And I said, what you've just told me is not something to be proud of. That is a classic example of child abuse. And the person said, what? That no, it's a good thing. It's correction. You see, the child got so corrected and never went close to razor blades. I'm like, no. Have you considered the fact that this child could have taken that razor blade and cut themselves? And it could have been worse. The child could have cut just the wrists there and could have started bleeding a lot, and you would find yourself in the hospital, and possibly the child could have even died. Do you realize that the razor blade was a danger to that child? And so the adults should have asked themselves, why did I keep a razor blade accessible to a child? The adults should have blamed themselves for keeping a razor blade within a child's reach. But instead, you beat up the child for doing something that is age appropriate. Yes, the child destroyed your furniture. Yes, I understand that. But I would never beat up a child for that. I would instead maybe talk to the child, and very nicely, to be honest with you, that's not even enough to scold the child for. I will never scold the child for that. I would just tell the child, oh, this thing, you see razor blade, dangerous, 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 don't go close to it. If you ever see it, don't touch. And I don't expect the child to adhere to that. I actually expect the child to still do something dangerous. However, it is my duty as an adult parent to keep that child safe. It is my duty to keep the child away from things that can, cause danger to my child. And so if I have failed there, why should I beat up that child to the point where the child, another 20, 30 years later, has not forgotten and is afraid? That is abuse. It affected that child mentally so badly that 30 years later, the child still cannot touch, you know, a razor blade. That is amazing. That is crazy, you know. And it just, I mean, we actually, I think this was even the point when the person said, you know, I'm going up. Because I told the person was proud of the story. And I told the person that is child abuse right there. And the parents were extremely abusive to that child. You do not, I mean, for the child to not forget, or the person to not forget razor blade and be afraid of razor blades, I can only imagine how well beaten that child would have been. Or not well beaten, how badly beaten that child would have been. You know, so no, that is child abuse. We need to really cancel that culture. We need to stop child abuse. We need to not normalize child abuse. It does not do anything good. It creates some of the worst types of individual. It creates some of the worst types of mental health issues that adults face later in adulthood because of the way they were suppressed in childhood. And, you know, we need to just learn to stop that. It does not help anybody. Please, if you're listening to this, and I know that, you know, there are Nigerians that probably listen to this. I don't know where people listen from, to be honest with you. I know that people listen from these different parts of the world. But if you're Nigerian, I need us to do better in our generation. We have learned better. We're more enlightened and we can do better. And so we should just try to do better. You know, hitting a child is really not the answer. You really should think and learn more. Like, we need to do research. I think before you have a child, you should study. You should actually study. Yes, because bringing a human being to the world is such a huge deal. People don't even know. I think because it's just so easy to have sex and get pregnant, people don't even know that you are actually nurturing a human being who will be a part of society. It is so huge, we don't even know, you know. And so, I mean, you find people having, let's not go into so other topics. I think this, all my topics are so broad that you can just go into other things without realizing. But well, before you have a child, learn as much as you can. If you didn't know, you can learn. There's so many resources on the internet. There's so many places where you can learn. I didn't know better, but I learned. I did not study psychology, but I learned. You have to learn certain things. You know, that's, you have to learn outside school. And so you have to learn how to actually raise children. It's something you learn. I'm sorry about this. So yeah, just learn what to do and learn and know that, you know, child abuse is not the answer. It creates some of the worst forms of individuals. And love is always the answer. Gentleness is always the answer. Kindness towards your children and towards others is always the answer. Just, you know, do what's best for your child. Oh my gosh, this has been my longest podcast in a while. But guys, I'm sure you can tell I was just so emotional and passionate about this topic. I thought to bring it back to you guys to let you guys know. Thank you for sticking by. If you watched to this point, oh sorry, if you listened, I keep saying if you watched because I also have a YouTube channel. But guys, if you listen to this point, thank you. I just want to say thank you for listening. And right, you can find my podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast if you can subscribe. And you can find me on Google, Apple, Spotify, Castbox, Radio US, and, you know, other platforms where you stream your podcasts. And until next time, guys, until next time, because honestly, you know how it is. I am so busy. I don't know when next time is going to be. But guys, remember, I'm trying to keep it as one podcast a week, or at least every 2 weeks. So you'll be hearing from me soon. Thanks, guys, for listening. Have a great day. Mwah. Bye.